All right, Jimmy said to give it 3 seconds. I gave it 5. Hard hat time.
Let's go.
Hard hat time.
Look, I can't even feel this. This is what this is after a game 3 win. This is how you feel.
Hard hat.
3-0 series lead for the Boston Celtics. They came to work tonight. They came to work on a Saturday night, and John, we came to work on a Saturday night. Let's get into it.
None of you pessimists believe this was possible, but here are the
haters.
Celtics.
The haters have no watching anymore.
The haters have no place on this show. Okay, we don't want you here. We don't want you here. Go take
the
off.
Naysayers, okay? Get them out of here.
Get them out of here. Okay, the Dudleys, the Bobbies, you know, these freaking negative Nancys.
The Bobby Mannings, they won't even make an appearance tonight after a game like this. Only we will. Only the true believers will.
Only the true believers. Anyway.
Hey, round of applause for the 3-0 Celtics here, folks.
However, I'm going to pump the brakes because Ben Simmons is returning in game 4.
Wait. Ben Simmons, the guy who's dressed like a clown on the sidelines tonight? That guy?
Oh, my goodness.
He's going to change his costume and dress up as a basketball player for game 4? I don't believe it.
Tell me you're not playing without telling me you're not playing. Tell me just based off his attire. He's freaking just, you know, hey, just wearing his clown suit to the game.
Were, hey, you know, like, you did it, Ben. You dressed up on a Saturday night in New York, like – if that was the goal, then you crushed it.
Yeah.
But the Celtics came to play, and they took care of business. And as Sherrod Blakely so eloquently said after game 2, they snatched their souls tonight. The Brooklyn Nets, as we know them, are dead and gone. They're dead. It's just a matter of semantics at this point. It's a matter of time. The Brooklyn Nets. Blake Griffin did everything he could to revive the Nets in the fourth quarter, but Jaylen Brown had other plans. And I said on Twitter, we officially have to talk about Jaylen Brown tonight. And we just did. So we're good. We're good.
That's all we need.
So shout out to Jaylen Brown and shout out to the Boston Celtics.
Someone tweeted that, you know, like when you get those Ben Simmons moments, like you're a Nets team and something like that happens, he plays with energy. He ties up Jason Tatum, you know, a couple good hustle plays, knocks down those threes, stuff like that normally like is game changing, you know, and it turns the series or it turns the game. But every single time that they did that, the Celtics responded, primarily Jaylen. So, that was it. I mean, so they had the answer. Bruce Brown, same exact thing. I tweeted this jokingly, but Bruce Brown goes off in the second quarter and Peyton Pritchard matches him bucket for bucket. The thing that was actually said on a national television broadcast by Mike Breen was Peyton Pritchard and Bruce Brown dueling it out of here in the second quarter. I'm like, what planet are we on?
I know. How do we get here?
Oh, my God.
But, hey. Shout out Peyton Pritchard, too. I mean, a couple of big boy, little Sam Cassell level type shots from Peyton Pritchard tonight. So he did that in game 2 as well. So
everything they needed. And like the much ballyhooed return of Rob barely made an impact. I mean, he was in there. You know, if I'm going to nitpick, I really wanted Ime to play the starters. You know,
and that was 15 minutes. Exactly what some of us on Spaces thought he would play.
Yeah, tonight. 15 to 18. We said Ime said 20. I thought he was setting him up to start him in the second half, but he just eye test. He looked no different, you know, like maybe looked like he hadn't played basketball in a little while, but he looked exactly the same, you know, sort of guy, you know, catching a lob, blocking a shot, active, spry, jumping all over. He just looked like he was moving well. So, I mean, what Ime said is he plays a little bit here and he plays a lot more in the next game. So I think at this point, you just take the shackles off and you go back to the death lineup with the starting five, which, again, I wanted to see it tonight because I wanted them to start the third with it and just choke the life out of them, you know, and just put the clamps down. Didn't need to, and it worked out with what they were doing, but that's fine,
When Rob was out there, though, I didn't see him, like, not look like Rob. I mean, I'm not saying he was jumping through the roof, but the way he was moving out there, I would never have known that he was just, you know, back after a few weeks off, you know? So, right. I thought that, you know, it feels like they didn't rush him back. He didn't play uncomfortable. Like, it feels like everything was done the way it was supposed to be by the book. And now the Celtics, you know, knock on wood, have Rob Williams back for the rest of this playoff run, however long it goes. And if that is the case, I don't know how, and I'm not trying to jump too far ahead here, but I will jump too far ahead here. Based on the way the East looks right now, I don't know how you can pick against the Celtics all the way into the NBA Finals. Then we can talk about that at another time. But, you know, the way that things are shaking out with, you know, the Bucks have, you know, Middleton's down for a bit. The Sixers, Embiid's got this, you know, thumb issue.
I think
there's like other teams are like the luck is going the other way for other teams right now. So it feels like the Celtics, and I'm knocking on wood. I want people to know I'm knocking on wood this whole time because I don't want to be blamed for this. It feels like the Celtics, after a few years of bad luck, I'm knocking on wood as I say this. It feels like they have some luck going, the luck of the Irish, if you will, going in their direction right now. That's all I'm going to say about it. I'm not going to bring it up again. I'm just going to say that's the way it feels over the last couple of days.
Gotcha. Just updating the people at home. We have Sherrod Blakely, Bobby Manning, Josue Pavone, all hanging out in Brooklyn. Sherrod's going to jump on in a couple of minutes. Bobby and Josue are in the locker rooms right now talking to the players. They'll jump on here.
We told Bobby he's got to get his ass onto this show a hell of a lot sooner than he did in game two. There's a lot of people clamoring for Bobby and Josue. Josue got there sooner than Bobby, so we'll give him a pass. But these guys better get their asses into their seats and get on the show and give us – Sherrod, we'll give him a break because he started the show with me. He put up with me for about 45 minutes straight without those guys. So we'll give him a little pass. But those guys better get onto the show sooner than later because we have a lot to discuss.
There's a lot to discuss. I don't even want to start getting deep into stuff. We're just kind of like glossing over some of the headlines here. But there is a ton to discuss. Kevin Durant – look indecisive, the clamps down on him. He's just not aggressive right now. Kyrie.
Kevin Durant's thinking about like a beach somewhere. Maybe
I don't think he's given up. I think he's legit.
No, I just think he's about had it. I think he's about had it with what he's got here.
Yeah.
With the Nets. I mean, he's doing everything he can. I mean, but it's just, what else can he do? The Celtics are, you know, they're pounding him. They're getting into him. Durant's not getting enough help that he needs. You know, Bruce Brown, credit to him, he's doing everything he can. But the Nets just aren't talented enough to overcome what the Celtics are doing. And Steve Nash isn't, smart enough or experienced enough head coach to really do anything other than just say, you know, roll the ball out there and say, all right, like superstars, you know, try to do your thing. I mean, hell, Kyrie Irving didn't even think they needed a coach last year. And here they are begging Steve Nash to, you know, figure out why Ime Udoka has all the answers to the test. And he doesn't have anything to, you know, he has no answer to that.
Yeah. So it was a weird game from a flow perspective. I honestly think the Celtics at any point in time, if they just had a focused, consistent effort, they could have blown this game out first quarter and the second quarter and the third quarter. Take a 15-point lead in the fourth, kind of let it slip away. Some sloppy stuff there. Some Celtics didn't even play their best game, and it really never felt like they were threatened, you know? It was better team playing worse team, and that's just what it was like all game. There was just – you never felt – what's so weird is, like, I think what everyone – you know, not everybody, a lot of people, I told you, but, like – you know, the Durant-Kyrie thing, you know, it's just that law of averages. Like, after Durant had the game that he had last game and, you know, just the series that he's had, it's just kind of like they're not going to be able to keep the lid on him all of this time, right?
Right.
And they did again, you know? And it's just – I'm not going to say surprising.
Becoming
it's
the rule now.
But nobody does that to Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? Right. And, like, the last time they faced Kevin Durant – in the regular season, he put up 37 points. So, you know, it's not like, you know, of course they have a great defense. He's still Kevin freaking Durant. He just looks off and lost. And you know, they're frustrating the hell out of him. You know, they're playing really smart with the doubles coming all the time, just not letting him get to his spots and where he wants to go. And I mean, it was just, he just 5 field goal attempts in the first half. He's just not, I think he was 3 of 5 in the first half. He's just not Like, you're never going to win a game if you're the Nets. You have those two players. And, yeah, granted, you got those monster efforts from Bruce Brown, and then, you know, you get the little spark from that. But those guys are never going to win this. They're never going to win it for you.
John, it's simple as this. Kevin Durant took 11 shots tonight.
That's what I mean. Insane. And that's the case.
Again, and it's not like he went to the line 20 times like he did game two. He went to the line twice. Like, if Kevin Durant is taking 11 shots, I don't care if he hits all 11. Like, that's a win. You know, like the fact that you're even limiting the field goal attempts tells me that you've just broken this guy. You've broken this.
That's what I mean. Is
the offense is completely in. I mean, Blake Griffin was pulling shots out of his ass tonight in the fourth quarter. That's how desperation mode they were. Like, back to back threes, I think.
With a separated shoulder, I think, too, from running into Grant early, you know?
Credit to Blake Griffin. I mean, like, he got an opportunity. He made the most of it. But the fact that Kevin Durant took 11 shots tonight just tells me. And I'm already past the point where I'm not even saying, like, what's wrong with Kevin Durant. Like, I'm at the point where I'm like, the Celtics are seriously limiting this guy. They're defending him the way where he's just not able to be Kevin Durant this series. I'm sure he's going to have an unbelievable 2022/2023 regular season and maybe in the playoffs, but like right now in this postseason, like, he's toast. He's done. He's on a team that needs to go through some changes, I think, in the offseason, and it's over for him. And the Celtics are figuring him out. And if what the Celtics are doing in this series is the blueprint moving forward for other teams, then maybe life will be a lot more difficult. Durant probably won't be. I know he's extremely talented, but for this series anyways, they have figured him out. And
yeah,
tonight was the best example of that. Really. It really was.
I never saw that coming, because you figured, you know, Durant might try to force his way into more stuff. I was really, really surprised at how passive, how indecisive he looked. He was going places. He was kicking it out, you know, to different guys. And I mean, the game plan worked. It's fine. I dare you. If those guys beat us, great. We'll tip our hats. You can have all the Bruce Brown, Patty Mills, Blake Griffin, looks if you want. And that's about it. And if not for unforced turnovers by the Celtics, I know Brooklyn turned it over more times, but the Celtics also create pressure. Brooklyn creates none. Celtics gave it away without any defensive pressure too many times, and then just let up a bunch of really lazy offensive rebounds. If not for those trash points, this was a 25-point game. I mean, it wasn't even – it really didn't feel close.
It didn't feel close. You're right. I mean, completely. And it was even closer, like, at the end of the fourth quarter when they played a little sloppy to close out the game. It just felt like even when the Nets climbed a little bit back into it, Celtics would, like, Jaylen Brown, whoever it was, you know, Tatum, they just did what they needed to do to pull away again. You know, it felt like they were in control for the majority of this game. And this was a different vibe than the first two games, obviously, because in the first two games, they needed to come back in the second half. It felt like the Nets kind of, especially in game two, they set the tone early on. It was a Celtics comeback and, you know, sort of, you know, wake up and play harder than them in the second half. But tonight it was pretty much from start to finish. They had a nice little lead. And I know the Nets made it a nice little comeback in the second quarter to end it into the second half. But again, it didn't ever, like you said, John, it didn't really ever feel like the Celtics were in trouble or that they were going to blow this game and the Nets were going to come back and make this a series. And then in that fourth quarter, I never once was like, oh, here come the Nets. It just felt like credit to Jaylen Brown. He was going toe-to-toe with Blake for a minute there, but he just, like, they just took on this, I don't know, this attitude, this mentality where it was like, they're going to win this game. They're going to keep this lead at a healthy distance, and they closed it out. And that's, you know, like, I think the dagger shot was with about 3 or 4 minutes left in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob is at the podium. That always makes us happy. He looks happy, and he's saying that he feels good.
Happy and healthy.
Yeah. Happy and healthy and smiling, and felt great in his game. And again, this is just scratching the surface here in terms of, you know, his contributions. And again, didn't even really get to see him out with the full starters.
He wasn't worried about the knee, it looks like he said.
Yeah. Yeah.
So all good things from Leonard Williams.
Part of this.
Part of part of this. What are you frozen right now?
After the second game, saying things like, oh, it's their time and this is their window and they've arrived. And then you've got KD game, like joking with Tatum about the foul that was, you know, that they reviewed, and like almost kind of like not mad that he's losing, almost kind of like just bummed that it was like, he's like, yeah, he's better than me now, you know?
Who are you talking about? You froze on me and I had no idea what you're talking about. And now you're muted. I like something's going on with you, I think. I'm just going to sit here and nope, you're muted. You're still muted, dude. Still muted. All right. John Zanis is muted, everybody. I'm going to sit here solo. Celtics with a big win tonight, 109-103. They take a 3-0 series lead. As John Zanis looks around, completely confused. I don't know what his deal is. I'm going off the graphic here, 50% tonight, 30% from three, 26 assists, 14 turnovers. And I will say this, it felt like, and I've said this earlier, it just felt like the Celtics were in control tonight from start to finish. A different vibe in this game than the first two. And the reason being, John, are you back?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Sorry about that, guys.
Going on a little soliloquy here on the recapping of the game and that they took a 3-0 series lead, and how this game kind of felt different than the first two. And I think that's a great thing, first of all, because you get the sense that this team is getting stronger. Like they're actually like tonight they, you know, I know it had sloppy moments and you know, you look at the score and it looks like it's a close game, but I actually felt more confident about this game than the first two because this was a complete game from start to finish. We didn't see that in the first two games. What are you chuckling at?
Me?
Yeah.
People are making fun of me. People are making fun of my Brockton Wi-Fi issues. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, you know what, dude? I just had to like ramble for 2 minutes because of that. So
you did okay.
Why don't you talk now? Why don't you say something?
Anyway, what I was saying is it feels like
a passing of the torch. What are you chewing on? Were you snacking in the middle of the show?
It felt like a passing of the torch. Like Durant is kind of like, yeah, Tatum's probably better than me now. You know, like we talked about it last year, right? And like it seemed improbable, right? This notion that like Jason Tatum, that's the guy he's got to be like, and he's nowhere near him, right? That was last year. And that was the consensus. And not only was that the consensus was that honestly, it's going to be hard to get there because it's Kevin freaking Durant. He got there in a year. He got there. Yes, I was fasting. I'm fasting, guys.
You're anything but fasting as far as
Dos Anestis for the people out there who know what that means. But yes, anyway, so that's kind of the vibe I got here. It's like they know it's over and they're like, all right, well, you guys are good. And I guess I kind of like you, you know? And that's, I think the Nets are, they're done. They're done competing.
Yeah, they are done. I mean, they, and listen, we're going to have to hear it when Bobby Manning comes on the show, cause he's going to tell us how wrong we were and how right he was. And there's nothing I hate more than that. And I'm going to have to sit here and listen to him say it. Because he did, to his credit, say that the Nets, you know, weren't going to be able to compete with the Celtics. They don't play defense, all these things, and that the Celtics were going to beat them in, I think he said, 4 or 5. And it's looking like he's right. Sherrod said 5. I said 7. I think you – I don't even know what you said. You had 1,000 words on I think the Celtics were going to beat the Nets in your article. So I'll give you that. But – yeah, I mean, it's.
I thought they would struggle. And again, it could have easily been a split coming out of that one. And my prediction was Rob returns earlier than we thought, and they win every game since. But they won the first two. And at this point, there's just, you know, what was clear after the first two games, the Nets were never going to be able to string four games together. Impossible. You know, whether they won one, whether they won two. But you could see it. Like, they can't sustain it. They need the Celtics to go ice cold and KD and Irving to be on fire. For an entire game, and then they'd have to do it 4 times. It just, the Celtics just apply too much defensive pressure. They're going to stay in every single game. They'd have to just literally be just total dog shit on offense game after game after game to lose these, and it's just not going to happen. I saw a stat today when the 5 starters play, all 5, when Rob with Smart, Horford, if the Celtics score at least 100 points, they're 21-0 over the last 21 games. So that's basically the defense is going to hold the other team under 100 when those guys are in there, and they just got to get to 100. It's really not asking that much. They don't even have to play outstanding defense. They just have, I mean, the offense. They just have to be okay. And so it's Brooklyn's never going to be able to pull it together.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the playoffs, fights, and even the next season futures. And don't forget that baseball is back and the start of the Major League Baseball season is finally here. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
A statement from our good friend Paul. Oh, there it is. I was literally just going to read it.
It's so funny. I'm like, who do you think? Who did Paul Pierce say this to? What's his audience like? To like some strippers on Instagram or?
I'm glad that you posted this comic.
Did he just turn to the lounge dancer next to him and say this?
No, he said it to Nick Gelso himself. I'm glad that you posted Gelso's comment because he tweeted me the quote, and I was gonna read. Are you tweeting me the tweet? Texted me the tweet and I was going to read it out, but there you go. I'm wondering what people are thinking about this. I like half jokingly kind of said it after I think game two, and I'm still, I like, listen, I'm not saying that Jason Tatum is Kevin Durant, but you'd be blind if you didn't think that, you know, Tatum has had a much better, I mean, everyone knows Tatum has had a much, much, much better series than Kevin Durant, and Tatum is on the up and up, and Kevin Durant, I'm not saying he's on the decline, but let's be honest, he's on, you know, he's on the other side of,
well, on the back nine. Yeah.
Yeah. And
on the back nine, following an Achilles injury that normally messes with,
you know, wake the beast up here. I mean, I think we can all agree that, you know, Jason Tatum is hashtag next, right? I mean, that's the idea here, is that he's going to be one of those guys, one of the Kevin Durants of the future, or present in this case.
Yeah.
Present, Jimmy.
Speaking of the Kevin Durant of the present, A'Sherrod Blakely, folks.
From the media room in Brooklyn.
What's up, guys?
Looking dapper.
You guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Oh, we got you.
Right. You got us?
I got you loud and clear, and we got the Celtics loud and clear. Mike,
what's your main takeaways here? We've kind of just been dancing around some stuff, waiting for you guys to jump in here. But, you know, go ahead, Sherrod. What kind of stood out to you about tonight? Well,
big thing for me that stood out was Jason Tatum. It's not even about next, Jimmy. It's now. He's there. He has, in this particular series, the way he has not only scored the ball, but the way he's defended, the way he...
Jimmy left just as you addressed him.
Of course, because that's homeschool for you. That's what happens when you go to homeschool.
Jimmy just, he's like, Jimmy, let me tell you something. And Jimmy just got up.
Oh, I'm here. I had to yell at people downstairs because they're freaking... They're being disrespectful to my guy, Sherrod. That's why I had to yell at them.
The one thing about Tatum, and I don't think people really saw this tonight, but when he was called for that foul on Kevin Durant late in the game, he went ballistic. He was so pissed. And it was like his second or third foul, but it was also the first time Kevin Durant might go to the free throw line. And to me, it's little things like that it made it pretty clear to me that this was a big freaking deal game for him. Not just because it could give him a 3-0 series lead, but it would continue this trend of, if we're being honest and keeping it 100, he's outplayed Kevin Durant in this series. I mean, that's not an – if you look at the numbers, you look at the impact, and bottom line, you look at the wins. He, in fact, Bruce Brown has been the best player on the Brooklyn team in this series.
I mean, not just outplayed, Sherrod. I mean, that's what we talked about is – at the beginning, this Jimmy and I were just saying this. At the end of last year, we talked about, you know, and when they'd face a guy like Kevin Durant, you'd say, like, that's if the Celtics are going to get somewhere, Tatum's got to be that guy. And a lot of us were like, that's almost impossible. That's asking maybe too much for him. Right now you watch Durant struggle and people will say things like he's been playing 15 years, you know, he's getting a little older, XYZ. This guy was in the thick of the MVP race before he got hurt, and honestly would be a first-team All-NBA player if he doesn't get hurt, very likely this year. So he was still playing all-world-level basketball most of the year.
Right.
And he ended up missing 30 games because of injury, 25, 30 games. So there's no question that this was the real deal. And Durant, you know, can still do it. And Tatum, as we said, this felt like a pass. This whole series is feeling like a passing of the torch sort of thing. Kyrie Irving's comments the other day about, like, it's these guys and they've arrived and, like, we're friends now. And can you guys give me a tribute video?
No.
Everybody. I want to be back in the Celtics.
Just kidding. And then Durant being pals with, you know, this and that. I think they kind of see it like, yeah, these guys got us. They got our number here, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't hurt the fact that the Celtics are going against a team with a coach who just doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Robert!
Oh, my
hey,
God.
Hey, you got me?
Yeah, oh we got you.
Sherrod, where was this guy after game two? Now look at him. He's jumping to get on the show all of a sudden.
Look at this guy.
Better setup here.
Yeah,
I can bounce back and forth.
Good. All right. So,
Jump in, Bobby.
Who talked so far? I saw Rob.
Rob talked. Ime talked. So we'll wait on the Brown. The Brown Tatum wait is underway. If you know, you know. But
What a
resounding exclamation point on this series! All those dunks, runouts, steals at the end. That fourth quarter was effectively a rout. And Brooklyn was hanging right there. They had a chance to strike back, and they just never were able to string together enough stops. And that was my overwhelming sentiment coming into this series. You can't be a team with no defensive identity and expect to win at the highest level against one of the best teams in the NBA. And that's clearly what the Celtics are with Rob, without Rob. Rob helped a little bit tonight, but this was effectively a continuation of what they've done without him. And they're going to sweep this series. The Nets just got nothing left. And you saw the exhaustion set in. Blake Griffin just talked a little while ago about the spirit not being right with the Nets. And that's
he's right.
Not difficult to imagine after blowing a 17-point lead in game two.
Yeah, but I think that the bigger issue with this Brooklyn team, besides their defense, which has been putrid this series, it's been putrid all season, they're not getting the kind of offensive firepower that they're used to. I mean, and the Celtics have been able to neutralize their number one and number two options. And we rarely see that in a playoff series where a team
11 shots. 11 shots for Kevin Durant.
And you know what? Right. I got some stuff
first
to say about Durant.
To the fourth quarter. So, first free throw for Durant didn't come to the fourth.
Exactly. And that was on the challenge.
That was questionable. I thought Tatum got all ball, but you know, I guess there was a little bit of
Missed. Everyone wanted the high five, but it was a little here. Anyway, Bobby, what's your Durant theory?
I think Bobby wants to go ether on Durant right now.
He's about to say some stuff.
He's about to go Nas on Durant.
The first two games, I think you can credit Boston and being physical, laying into him, tightening up the lane, all the different stuff we've talked about. He was passive tonight.
He was passive.
My Lord,
but all indecisive
was he
too.
Out of the game. Yep, just completely out of the action, dumping off to Brown whenever the pressure came, tentative, and with no real confidence in his shot, too, when the crowds formed around him. He looked like he lacked confidence, and that's the first time I can really ever say that about him. I don't think I can ever in his career point to a moment where he looked like this. And it was bad in games one and two. It somehow got worse here, and I thought he was just passive's the word.
He
deferring
like
to Bruce Brown, Nick Claxton,
He looked like someone who was just mentally defeated. The skills are still there, because if you look at his shooting, he was still a very efficient shot maker, but he didn't take that many shots. He wasn't assertive. It was almost as if he was just saying, look, I've been carrying this team all damn year. Can someone besides Bruce Brown give us something? Kyrie, can you give us something other than flipping off fans? Can you do something that can just take some of the pressure on me? Because I'm tired. And he looked like someone who just mentally fatigued.
Yeah.
That's spot on, Sherrod. That's spot on. It felt like he had the body language of someone that was like, make it worth it. You know what I mean? Like put me in the position to close this out or actually win a game. But until we reach that point, you know, I'm going to just be not just passive, but sort of like almost reluctant in a way. I mean, he did pick a spot when he wanted to attack, but I felt like he wasn't forcing the issue. He wasn't the playoff Durant, you know what I mean? Like I felt like he wasn't out for the kill like he typically is. Like
I
don't even think this was exhibition season.
Exactly.
11 shots.
No, for real.
I mean, he has quarters where he takes more than that many shots.
Exactly.
Let alone a game. It was But let me tell you, I tell you right now,
eight attempts.
Yeah, he's still one of the best players pound for pound on the planet. Don't let this series fool you. He's still a badass man out there.
But it's crazy.
But he's got enough heart for this one, though. Sorry, does he have enough heart to
I mean, look, he almost single-handedly got them through Milwaukee last year with Harden on one leg, and Kyrie had rolled his ankle, so he was out, and he just took it. He said, "Get on my, you know, jump on my back, boys," and he played, you know. So we saw it. I mean,
That's a motivated Durant.
We saw it we saw it very recently, but this feels like one of those seasons where Kevin Durant probably can't wait for it to be over. You know, from the drama. Harden, his injury, the Simmons situation here, Kyrie just being a wacko, and it just none of this being anything that he signed on for. He loses a year to an Achilles. Last year, everything goes wrong with injuries late, and then this year, submarined by Harden and Kyrie. He looks like he's like, I should have stayed in Golden State.
Let's just end this.
That's the body language.
It's like, these guys are going to win another. Imagine what they do if I was there. Oh, my God.
And it just snowballed from the beginning, right? First, it was just like, okay, Kyrie, you know, he's going to be on that stance. Hopefully things change with the CDC. Let's just see what happens. And then James Harden wants out. It's like, wait, what the? This isn't what I signed up for, guys. Like, what's going on? Look at Boston. They're getting better over there. Like, you know what I mean? And I felt like when Kyrie was allowed to play home games again, there was that window of opportunity for them. And they did finish the season strong.
3,000. Don't get
me wrong, but that continuity.
Sorry.
Right?
We got 3,000 in the both rooms. I just wanted to celebrate. I was looking at the counter. Right. Yep.
There's only the fifth.
That's a first timer, I think, right?
That's
John?
A first timer. Yeah, it's a first timer.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Good time to introduce us all, John.
Yes.
What do you think?
I'm going to welcome back.
No, John. Yeah. Pretend it happens all the time. Yeah, it happens all the time.
Real quick.
No, but real quick. Hold on. Let me finish this, Bobby.
Real quick. Hold on. Let me say something.
Regular season 10 and 5, right?
Wait. Real quick.
That doesn't make up for continuity against the best defense in the NBA. That doesn't make up for going up against Tatum and Brown, you know, in this newfound. You know, they've seen the light now on both ends of the floor. And what an example of that by Jason Tatum in particular today, right? Man, I've never seen Tatum play defense like that. Like just every single play, never taking one off. Like, you know, I asked Ime about it. Ime was just like, well, yeah, he's been doing that all season long. I'm just like, yeah, but, you know, something's changed in the last couple of weeks. I thought tonight in game 3 was the best example. It really was.
Yeah.
Not just because he had six steals either. You know, it's just defense. He was just everywhere, man.
This is like strange. Go ahead, Bobby.
It went to the next level because he's playing a listless team that's sloppy, that isn't connected, that has no
discipline.
And he
smells it. He knows it.
And
he knows the vibes.
All over
he knows
them.
The vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw Brown drop a pass at one point. Like, it was just a mess. And, like, after a 2-0 series lead formed after blowing a 17-point lead, this is why I started to talk about sweep. Because when you lose in that fashion, when you have Durant playing like he did in Boston – you just start to see a team that's started to crumble a little bit in the second half of the season, lose one of its star players at the midway point. This all had the makings of everybody on Brooklyn just saying, maybe this just isn't our year, and we might just pack it in here. And I don't think they completely packed it in here, but once they took a punch, once they took two punches, those turnovers.
That's the Celtics.
The second half, they faded.
This is what's different about the Celtics over, you know, in the past is all of those runs, those punches, the Blake Griffin run, things like that. Those are normally the types of things that would tip games in the other team's favor, and the Celtics wouldn't recover from them. Every single time the Nets have something for them, they come right back. Every time the Nets got it to 3 or 4, Celtics pushed it right back to 9, and Nash is calling a timeout. Every time they have an answer, and that's the best part. And in fact, if they didn't get casual sometimes when they were at 10, 11, 12 points, they could have pushed this thing into the 20-point realm and cruised a little bit. They did get a little passive. They did. Their offense broke down a little. They took some sloppy shots. They were careless with the ball. But they could have, you know, they had an answer for everything the Nets did. That's got to be demoralizing, too. You're Brooklyn. You think you're coming back. And then, boom, you know, Brown just goes off there during those Blake Griffin minutes.
That was it.
That was
like
that was
Yeah.
That was like a canter stint, I said. Like, oh, he made a few threes, but look what's happening on the other end.
And the Celtics were like, please keep shooting. The next time he got it after he made two threes, every Celtic was like, they backed up like 15 feet. They're like, yeah, going ahead.
We've all been in those like rec league games where it's like, no, this dude, just give him the ball and just like, please go in. Just,
yeah.
Like, do anything about that. Yeah.
That was, by the way, only the fifth time Durant took 11 shots or fewer this season.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we said it off the top, Avi. I mean, the fact that it's the attempts that tell the story. I mean, the fact that they're at a point now where they're even preventing Durant from even getting shots off is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think some of it's the Celtics, some of it's them.
Do you think Ben Simmons should have dressed differently tonight?
Yeah. He
didn't look like a guy who was about to come and save the team in game four.
Well, we can talk about that.
Close to being.
I mean, that's.
Yeah.
That's what I said. If they went down
with Mary J. Blige.
If they went down 0-3, I had a hard time imagining him coming back, and I definitely do not see him playing.
I've never seen Mary J. Blige more than I did tonight on the television screen. I cannot figure that out. I don't know what they were saying, but they could not stop showing her on the TV screen. She looked good.
It's
no,
funny.
I have no problem with it, but
no, it's funny because I'm seeing. I saw the comments on Twitter, but they didn't put her onto the big screen until like the fourth quarter, and they do this segment where they point out the celebrities in the house or whatever, and it was like she was like the seventh person, I guess.
A 100 times. On the
hold on 1 second, guys. Sherrod, talk real quick. I want to make sure we can hear you. No, we lost you. Leave and come back. I thought I saw you trying, and I didn't see it. Leave and come back if you can.
Sherrod has something to say about Mary J. I'm sure.
About Mary J. But, you know, we talked about the Simmons thing is interesting because
it's really not.
No. Here's why.
Maybe really not now.
Hold
maybe
on. Sherrod,
now,
go ahead.
Bobby,
time out, guys. Hold on 1 second. Sherrod? No, nope. Nothing. We don't have you. Check the settings and jump back in. I don't know why it's not
John,
working.
Might be that plug it in, unplug it and plug it in type situation.
Turn it off and on.
Blowing it.
Yeah.
John, I don't think we've ever I don't
not
think we've
Nintendo
ever
game.
I don't think we've ever talked more about a more inconsequential player. Like, he's just not good enough for how much we've obsessed over him for a year. When's he gonna come back? Where's he gonna go? Where's he gonna fit? What's he gonna do in the series?
Used to be.
I didn't think he was good enough for that trade.
I said,
you guys know how I felt about that.
That's the key phrase, Jimmy.
Guys,
we don't know what he is at this
point. I get it.
Oh, John's going to be talking 10 years from now. Remember,
I know, come on. It's somewhere in the middle, and it's not – I mean, you don't have to go to – he's an absolute bum, and he can't do anything. He's a disappointing player. He may not want to play. He may not have any heart. He may be, honestly, afraid to go out there and to do whatever it takes because he's afraid to fail. All of these things might be true, but he was also an all-star last year and two-time deep all-defensive player the last couple of years. He's a three-time all-star. Like, he's not awful. Just stop
saying
awful.
We're using a lot of past tense, John.
We're not. This was the last time we saw him. He was an all-star basketball player. It's not that past tense. The most recent version of him is an all-star. So it's not ridiculous. Is he going to help this team?
And now he's just
no.
a clown.
Now
he literally dresses like a clown and sits on the bench.
Yeah, he's not helping
this
team.
He's a side
show,
literally.
This year, exactly. He's not helping this team.
That was my point all along.
He's got Jester vibes.
But the further it went on, the more it became clear, right? For a while, it was like, okay, let's see what happens. And then we start getting later in the year, we're like, he's going to play, right? And then it was like, okay, he's still not ready. And then on and on it goes. And then we enter the playoffs and we're like, he might not be ready for the start of the playoffs. What's going on? The thing that clinched it all is the game four, not game three. You've got to be kidding me. He's physically ready to play in 2 days, but he wasn't tonight with your season on the line. If this guy matters, he's got to play. And if he doesn't play tonight,
it's too late, John.
See you next year. Useless.
Yeah.
Game
not gonna throw him into this.
Basically, an exhibition. It might be good for him to get some burn. It's a meaningless game. In that sense, you might as well throw him out there and see if he can still dribble the ball a little bit, because it's a meaningless game. I mean, even if the Nets win it, I mean, we're just, you know, it's semantics at this point. It's just a matter of time.
Joe Tway, I think you were.
The whole thing is a disaster. The Nets front office should be all collectively be fired, every single one of them, for how they screwed up this season. Seriously, it's colossal failure on the Nets front office part. You traded James Harden, and I know that there were issues internally with Harden and everything, but you literally traded him away, and you traded for a player who never played for you. When they made that trade, we all thought that both teams were going to be better because
– I did.
Because
let's try Sherrod again.
Perfect.
Hold on. Time out. Sherrod. I got to see if he works. Okay, we don't have him. Sherrod, we still don't have you. Nothing.
Got to try a different browser.
You might have to try a different browser or just check the settings. Input. Make sure you're
maybe like the mute button.
Make sure the microphone isn't on the output. Yo, microphone's got to be on the input. Jimmy, go ahead. Sorry, I just want to see if we can get Sherrod back.
No, you're good. I want to get Sherrod back just as much as anybody does.
Yeah, Sherrod, you're gonna have to leave and come back. I don't know what's going on here. That's weird. We had you before. Jimmy, go ahead. Finish.
No, I mean, talking about the Nets front office, I just feel like if that happened in Boston, we would all have their heads. I mean, we would say, how could you screw up this season? You had a championship caliber roster. You had three of the best players in the NBA. You traded one for essentially nothing. You traded for a guy who was a loser. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this guy, Ben Simmons, is a loser. And I almost feel bad saying it, but I really don't, because I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, hell, at one point, I had to practically defend the idea of trading Jaylen Brown for him, which, listen, I never wanted to do it, but I had to defend the idea of it. Can you imagine if the Celtics did that and the guy just refused to play?
I mean, I don't remember you saying that.
That'd be the end
Who
of
said
it.
That? You that and would, Bobby said that shit?
Yeah.
That would
we
be said it, the end of
was
it.
Was that on the so, show? Like,
we said it was something that could have potentially saved last year, given his playmaking.
We don't need to dig up the
It wasn't this
odd,
year.
No. We don't need to dig up
No, okay. this is this is the middle of last year.
As long as it wasn't this year. All
right. No, it wasn't this year. My point is the Nets have a huge, huge, huge issue on their hands that goes well beyond this series.
Oh, don't get me started on them. But I do want to talk about what they're saying in their presser here. Steve Nash talking about them looking tired. I feel for them, he says, after 40-minute games, Kyrie fasting for Ramadan. Kevin Durant, I'm just thinking too much, to be honest.
I don't know what he's thinking about. Passing the
That's
ball?
What good defense does. That's yeah. what. It makes you second guess yourself. Especially when you're on the verge of, well, now it's before it was official, on the verge of going down 3-0, man. Like, again, Bobby, we talked about this throughout the game. We've never seen Durant like this. We've never seen him so rattled. And it's a ripple.
He's rattled.
You know, look at the performance you got from Bruce Brown. I mean, you got guys that, like, look, I know, you know, they're missing the Joe Harris and, you know, those other role players that used to step up, but. Like, the old Durant would have taken that and would have just been more composed, more focused. I felt like if you get the same performance from the other guys, from the role players in game one, there's no way you would see Durant like this. Or even in game two, I just feel like he sort of sees what the future has in store for this team. And he's like, well, if you guys put ourselves in a position for me to attack in the fourth quarter, then I'll do it. But until that happens, until I see it, I mean, I'm just going to go with the flow here. And I just feel like he was just going through the motions, you know? And for somewhat – You could say the same thing for somewhat for Kyrie as well, but Kyrie just looked out of sync. You know, it looked like he wasn't even trying to. You know,
let me give Durant this.
It's unbelievable.
Okay,
he had a try going to the role, guys, and I said that after game two. Like, they did it well in the first half of game two, got away from it, and I thought that lost them game two. But here, it you get to a point where it becomes unreliable. Brown was scoring basket after basket. All of a sudden, he's shooting threes off the backboard. Claxton had that nice run that got Brooklyn back into the game. All of a sudden, he's erratic on his layup attempts and missing shots inside back-to-back. That sequence really swung the game here. So this is my other criticism of Brooklyn. They never established trust in their role guys to where you can steadily rely on them for a length of a game. Look at what's happening with Boston here. Tatum's been effectively removed scoring-wise from most of these first halves. In fact, all three. And he's finding Grant. He's finding Horford. Smart is getting open looks. Brown especially has been the biggest beneficiary of the pressure Tatum's receiving. And they all are just on a string offensively. Brooklyn, It's like, all right, I'll try it now this half. Oh, we'll get Brown going this half. Oh, next half, let's try Kyrie. It's just basketball on the fly. And you can just see this group that hasn't like played together, ball, hasn't developed the refs. It's pickup ball, Josue. They're running up and down the court. They go 4 or 5 minutes without playing defense.
More Kyrie Irving here. Celtics have been gelling since Christmas, and the Nets are in a new experience as a group, and we have to respect that. It's just this isn't how you talk in the postseason. You're talking like
like this is year one, like month one. This is year three for them. Yeah. And the only
you're not talking like you're serious about coming back right now. You're talking about it like you're completely, you know.
And Kyrie started that after game two, John.
And Kyrie, you knew where it was going to go with Kyrie.
Talking about continuity after game two. Yeah.
This wasn't straight up Kyrie quitting, but it was.
He was bad tonight.
It was the type of stuff you expect when a person wants to stop trying, which is a lot of lazy reach in fouls. And also contested shots. And that's what they're forcing him to take. Every single shot he takes is a contested two. And that's it. He's just dribbling, and I'm just going to jack it, and whatever happens, happens.
Right.
And if it goes in, great. And if it doesn't, I'll see you next year. And that's kind of where he's at right now.
Yeah, it's a mix. It really is. Boston's on their game. Brooklyn, it's not sharp. It's the opposite. Whatever that is, Jimmy. You got a word?
Do I have a word?
Opposite of sharp, dull.
Oh, dull. Yeah, dull. Yeah, it's dull.
Are we really
dull,
doing this?
Flat. A dull
it's
team.
Flat. They're flat, man. They're lifeless. They're playing. They're done. I mean,
what's the opposite of sharp? Not sharp.
They got run off the court tonight in transition.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the conversation we had. This was why I wanted Brooklyn. It's a flailing group that was ready to crash and burn. And you had to do it. You had to go out there. You had to win some tough games. It wasn't easy early on. But once you did it, they went right into the ground.
Well, the
I'm
one.
Say this too. You know what I'm also going to do right now?
It's what Ime wanted.
I'm going to call out Kyrie Irving's leadership capabilities. I don't think he has any.
None.
The comments tonight, the comments after game two, just go down the line of past teams with the Celtics. I mean, he wasn't the leader on the Cavs. LeBron James is is always going to be the leader on this team. I don't know if Kyrie Irving is capable of leading a team. I don't know if he has.
No one's following him.
Nobody's following
him.
LeBron's the biggest mistake.
How does anything he said after game two or tonight? How is that something that anybody on your team wants to hear? How is that rallying the troops? How is that making the guys believe that you can win or you can make a comeback? It's not. Like, this guy is so not anything capable of leading a team or leading a group of people. And, like,
He didn't show up for the season.
He didn't show up. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, not only that, not only what he's saying right now, but the fact that he literally – didn't play for the majority of the season. The whole roster and the whole situation is a disaster. If you're a Nets fan, which you aren't, because I don't know if they actually have Nets fans, but if you're a part owner, if you're a member of the organization, you must be pretty upset, because those are really the only people who I think would care at this point.
Yeah, but I feel like this was always Durant's team, right?
Are we going to see if Sherrod can talk real quick?
Sherrod? Durant's team, Josue, but it as we know, it takes more than one guy to win. And
right, but I don't think Durant realized that that's what he signed up for. You know what I mean? Sherrod's swearing right now.
Durant knew it, Josue. He had a choice.
But he didn't know it before that, Bobby. Why would he go? Why would he do it if that was the case? I don't think he knew it.
I'm saying he had a choice at the beginning of this season when Kyrie didn't show up. If he signed,
he knew what he was in for, because I don't think he did. I think he thought it as, if I take him under my wing, things will be different. You know what I mean? Maybe we get a third piece, but that's enough. And then I can prove to everyone that I don't need to
the
join
Kyrie
a
Irving
super team to win a championship. It's the same narrative that LeBron did when he went back to Cleveland. And ironically, it was Kyrie as his right hand man next to Kevin Love.
I know we obsess about Kyrie, and everyone's like, why do you talk about Kyrie? Because he's interesting. He's good theater.
He's a story with this team.
And he's a story because he's the reason that this team absolutely collapsed and fell apart. He's the reason James Harden, who was going to hold his nose and see if he could make it work because they thought they'd win a championship, was like, nah, I'm all set. I'm out of here. He's the
reason. Yo, you're really not getting vaxxed? All right, I'm out.
Yeah, no, seriously. But
I'll give him the vax. That's what he said.
He's moved the goalposts like 100 times. We don't need a coach. We're being outcoached, okay? We're a veteran team here, and we just manage ourselves. We can do whatever. We've got a lot of new players. Give me a break with new freaking players, okay? The Celtics, after the trade deadline, had like six players.
Half the bench was gone. Yeah, right.
So whatever. I mean, all of this stuff is – it's just such – and who buys it? That's the whole point, is like everything about Kyrie's world is convincing himself. If you say it and it makes sense, you believe other people would think that it makes sense. But everyone's like, dude, what the hell are you talking about? And that's just – so he destroyed this team. This was a super team that should have won two or three championships.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I don't think a single player – There's probably one handful that are in the same league in terms of the destructiveness that he's caused to multiple franchises. Three. Ended the Cleveland run by forcing his way out of the Cavs. Maybe the right move because LeBron was on the way out too, but still, it had the impact it did on 18. Boston, we told that story over and over again. And you know, I'd credit Bob Ryan, who, when he went to Brooklyn, Kyrie said, this isn't going to be his last stop. And I believe he said as well, like, you know, let's see what happens here, because
Sacramento, Boston, baby.
It could end the same way in Brooklyn. But it's too late, John. Like, they can't move him now. Like, they can't move on.
Why didn't they make better that option. Trade? They should have traded with Sacramento. When
all right.
Yes.
All right.
Sherrod. Sherrod, only you for the next 15 minutes. Go. Nobody else talk.
really quick, you were talking about Kyrie. Just a second ago, just way.
Yeah, we still are.
Listen, to me, the deal that's out there that I think if you're Brooklyn, you need to seriously think about making. If you're Portland, Portland makes the most sense. They've got a.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
That makes a lot of sense. But he's got to ass out, though.
He'll retire, Sherrod.
See,
no.
Portland might be a good place for him.
To play.
He'll retire. He may retire prematurely, but it's not that moment's not right now. No, he's not gonna. No.
I'll believe it. I won't believe it until he actually does it. I just think he's too talented, too good, and frankly, I think he just loves the attention, low key, that he gets as an NBA player to just walk away. Can't see it happening. Not this soon in his career. No.
So you're talking Lillard for Irving?
Something, and I couldn't get on early because Jimmy had said something about how they just basically need to blow up the front office and listen. let's be honest though. The issue is Kyrie. When you look at all the issues they've had, that's the epicenter of all the problems. So, Sean Marks has done what I think you're supposed to do. You're supposed to build a strong team, and he did that. But when key pieces of that strength basically implode, and you can't control that, how is that on you?
Well, part of that, Sherrod. Part of the reason I said that was because they traded James Harden for a player who has not stepped on the court. And in doing so, essentially ended their season. Because, I know that there were issues internally with Harden and the team, but, like, you literally traded him for a zero this season when you had a team that many people thought were the favorites to win the title. So in that sense, I feel like, you know, that was a huge whiff on the front office's part.
They miscalculated how soon he'd be able to help him. Because when they made the deal, you figured that he might get a few games in before the regular season and be ready for the playoffs. I think that was a reasonable expectation. Who would have thought that? Why?
Yeah, because he's not there mentally, Sherrod. Because why would they even think that?
Because the thinking was that while he was in Philadelphia, he was having issues not only in terms of the team and the front office and the coaching, but that damn fan base is it'll challenge anyone's mental health. When you think about that Philly fan base, you come to Brooklyn, you're playing with a couple of really, really good players that you can learn from, and you don't have the pressure being a go-to guy that you're going to have in Philadelphia. A lot of things made sense why things would work out better for him in Brooklyn than they did in Philadelphia. But again, if you're Brooklyn, there's no way you could have anticipated that he would not be ready to roll before the playoffs. There was nothing that indicated that. He was ramping up in Philadelphia. Yeah, and so I can't be mad or hate on them or want to get rid of them because of frankly, a miscalculation on their part, which, again, no one would have saw that. No one saw that coming.
I'm going to run and grab Jalen.
Their job to see it coming, though.
Like, go ahead, Bobby. Do your thing.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So, yeah, I don't think it was smart of them to not see that coming, though. I'm like, at best, you're going to get Ben Simmons the following season. Like, it was almost as if they were like, okay, this is for the future, but we think we still have enough pieces, you know. And this is before Kyrie was even cleared, right?
It was. Kyrie it was still wasn't cleared
to play home games. Right. Well, yeah, but at the same time, it's like, why wouldn't you go for it this year? Like, I didn't understand the deal where you can, let's say, for example, you were to trade with the Sacramento Kings, right? You could have got some shooting in the mix, you know, Buddy Hield, made a couple other pieces as well. Maybe not Haliburton. Maybe that's not the deal, you know, the same one that they made with Indiana. But I just feel like there was another option out there, you know, to really help these guys, to help guys like Kyrie and Durant. You surround them with shooters. And I just didn't see the sense in bringing in someone like Ben Simmons. Like, I get if you're talking about the Simmons that we saw last year, but we don't know if that guy still exists as a player. We really don't. And I don't think – I think it's beyond health at this point, or at least physical. You know, I think it's a mental thing. And I just didn't see putting him in the mix of, you know, a team like the Brooklyn Nets next to Durant and Kyrie, where, of course, yeah, they don't need him to score necessarily like they would have expected from James Harden. But if he's not all the way there mentally, he's in a really tough spot and trying to catch up. I just didn't see that happening, you know, this season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, going back to James Harden, and he was going to leave, and you were going to get nothing if you're Brooklyn,
right?
And the worst case scenario, which is what you have now, is that you get Ben Simmons, who is essentially going to help you next year, not this year. I agree with you on the Sacramento stuff. I just thought when Sacramento made it clear that they were in business to break off parts of that team, that's the team I was going for. Haliburton is the guy that I would have absolutely tried my damnest to get.
I was on that train.
You put him on this team, and this—I don't think this is a 3-0 series. It could easily be 2-1 or 3-0 the other way. I think he's that good, that impactful. But you know, again, they did what too many teams I think tend to do, and that's they go for star power as opposed to substance, and they're paying the price for that. So kudos to the Celtics. To the Celtics, I mean, have a better team. It's not even close. I mean, even without the 3-0 standing, Boston from top to bottom is a better team.
Does Steve Nash even make it to game 4?
I hope so. I hope so. I really hope he's around for game 4.
Don't get your odd going.
I really want him to be there for
game
4.
They should fire Nash and let Kyrie coach and start Ben in game 4.
Well, it would save him some money because Kyrie's coaching the team now anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
There
were multiple moments in this game where Steve Nash is trying to call something and Kyrie's like, "Nah, I'm good. Thanks, coach."
It's on. We're not doing it.
Yeah.
We're not doing that.
And then Nash is like, "Oh, okay. All right, cool."
Yeah, exactly. Because Nash knows that he's there because of Kyrie. I mean, it's just a bad situation for Nash. But the thing I point to with Steve Nash is he screwed up when all those games that Kyrie missed were opportunities for him to establish his coaching style, him to implement whatever it is that his imprint on the game would be. And he didn't. He just basically just bided time and hoped, you know, Kyrie come back for those road games. And that was a huge mistake because now he doesn't have he's just there.
I got a question for Sherrod and Josue. What was the vibe in the arena tonight? What was the scene? Were there a lot of Celtic fans? Were there any Nets fans?
It was weird. Like like when Rob Williams checked into the game, you could feel a surge from the crowd, which just should not happen when you're on the road. And when he left the game, there was a similar like surge.
People were on their feet, Sherrod. Celtics fans, obviously, but I thought it was funny because you look, it was just like you see like a bar. You know, the people who were standing were obviously Celtics fans, the ones that weren't, but they were loud enough. The applause were loud enough that did you guys pick it up on TV? Like it sounded loud enough in here that you could feel it. You could feel things about to change a bit.
Yeah.
The energy was about to shift. You could feel, and I felt like when he first checked out, not as strong, but you sort of heard those applauses as well on his way out. Yeah.
And
I wouldn't call it 50-50, but it was a good chunk of
time. I would say, yeah, I would
it will
say
it will be for next Brooklyn game.
Yeah,
you think it was 50-50, Sherrod? It might have been.
I'd say it was 60-40 Brooklyn. I think it was
a little
bit more.
I think next game, but Brooklyn fans are going to be opting out of those tickets.
Man, they was talking a lot of shit when I was heading down for
yeah. They're gonna be selling those game four tickets to any Celtics yeah. fan out there willing to take them.
Yeah, yeah. It was weird because even if there were moments where they would have like the Brooklyn chant, like Brooklyn, Brooklyn, and then it was followed yeah. by Boston, Boston. It mixed in there, and it was just like it was weird. Yeah. Just have that happen in a game like this. So.
Yeah,
so they're gonna get a win. That's what it was. Brooklyn thought they were gonna win.
So I mean, at this point, you know, I don't think there's a person out there who thinks Nets can steal one, and if they do, I don't think it matters. But
they ain't gonna steal four.
Yeah, they're not gonna steal four at this point. But you really do want to lock it up here if you can. I'll quibble with one thing. I thought for sure. I thought Rob was going to play 20 minutes, what Ime had said. And when he only played 7 in the first half, I thought for sure they were going to come out with that starting unit in the third quarter, and then bring them back later and maybe go 6 minutes and 6 minutes, and that would be his 20. And it didn't happen. And I was a little bummed about it because we never got to see we never saw the starting five once tonight.
You know what? You know what? I'm cool with what Ime did, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Ime has figured out that I don't need to empty my really quality bullets on this team. I can go with the stuff that is okay for us, but not our best stuff. To me, it's like a pitcher that has like a 98, 99 mile an hour fastball, but you know you can strike these SOBs out with your 87, 88, 89 mile an hour pitch.
Yeah. You don't need to send the heat. Yeah.
Why would you send your heat when you don't need to get them out with your heat? That's to me.
I just want
to
see them again. Because, I mean,
We know Rob's your boy. We get it.
No, I wanted to see the starting lineup badly.
Yeah. You got to feel encouraged about what you saw. No?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a little out of sync on offense a bit, but I mean, defensively, I feel like he was there. You know, at least he was bouncy, you know, the alley-oop and the two blocks, you know. On Andre Drummond, man, that was vicious.
Yeah, the one on Drummond at the rim was like, that's Rob. And he had a couple of low-key plays that kind of symbolized what he does. Like, you know, Rob switched out at one point on a player. I think it was KD. And KD made a pass, and it led to a turnover, and that led to a layup the other end. And even though Rob doesn't statistically get any credit for that, his ability to switch and not get beat forced a turnover, which led to a bucket. It's little things like that that he brings to the table that, again, that's why they have the best defense in the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah, you could see him. He was lurking, and they know he's there. It makes a difference, you know.
Yeah, it does.
So
it does make a difference, huh, John?
It does make a difference, Steve Nash. It does indeed.
He's just long. He's just long.
So what happens if Ben Simmons returns and the Nets win 4? Will Bobby change his mind about Simmons?
No. No. No.
Would he do it?
No, I don't think he will.
No,
you don't think he'd do the Bobby 180? He might do the Bobby
180. Bobby's going to take a very long victory lap on that one, so we'll have to probably let him have that. But I'm done talking about Ben Simmons. I'm done talking about a guy who just refuses to play basketball.
I don't think so. Let's predictions. Does he play game 4? I say no.
I say no. Based on what I saw tonight, no. He just wants to dress up. He wants to play dress up.
Yeah, I'm saying no.
And be in New York.
Listen, that outfit that he had on today was so clownish. It was like the biggest clown outfit he's worn. And again,
I thought he was going to the fish show down the road.
He looked like the Joker. He looked like the Joker out there.
He looks like
I said a jester. He looked like a jester. Joker.
Where is the Joker? Yeah,
which is it's kind of ironic because his whole time in Brooklyn has been a joke. So for him to look like the Joker today was kind of appropriate. I like most of his looks. I mean, he definitely takes some chances, but tonight was just a bad decision. This was like, you know, trying to throw that lob to like your 5'11" point guard. You're probably not going to get there. It's probably going to be a turnover. You don't do that.
Yeah, it wasn't good. No, it wasn't good, and everyone could tell. I don't know. Listen, the way Steve Nash was talking before this game, it's almost as if he's been dangling this. You know, yeah, he may play, may not, but like he knows, you know, like it's a good chance he's not going to play. You know, he wasn't in the mix with the main guys. You know, he wasn't in the mix out here. He didn't even do his dribbling thing before this one. I don't know if you saw Sherrod, but I didn't see him.
I didn't see it.
The last games one and two, he was out here not taking any shots, but, you know, getting his dribbling exercises in, and I didn't see it today.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. And I have my answer, but I'm going to ask you guys anyways. Who is the player of the series for the Boston Celtics so far?
Player of the series?
Yeah.
Tatum. I have my answer. Tatum.
Yeah, you got to go Tatum.
I think Tatum.
Especially after this game, man. This
I'm going Jaylen Brown. I'm going Jaylen Brown.
No, who? Bridesmaid. Bridesmaid.
As your camera unfocuses right when you say that.
I know. I don't know why it's doing that. That's a shame. Sorry. I guess.
Who does Jaylen Brown play for?
I'm giving Jaylen.
Have you guys not mentioned Jaylen? Oh, come on. Oh, no,
We did. We talked about his runs.
Fourth quarter. Yeah, the big
quarter. We talked about that. That was the game right there. We said, like, because that's the type of run when Brooklyn goes on it with friggin' what's his name hitting those threes. Yeah, Griffin. And the Celtics just answered it. Yeah.
Jaylen's eyes got so big when he saw that Blake Griffin was out there trying to guard him. My goodness.
He's like, oh, we're doing this? Yeah.
I mean, I felt the ball.
He's like, come on, come out.
I felt the ball boy was going to have to go out there in the middle of the play to wipe up the drool off Jaylen's chin when he saw that Blake Griffin was trying to guard him. It was bad. Bad.
Yeah.
I give Blake
Griffin. If you're going to do the Blake thing, why not do it sooner?
Jaylen Brown, I think, has been, you know, we talk about inconsistency sometimes with Jaylen, but he's been pretty damn consistent this series. And tonight, he saved them in that fourth quarter. I mean, I'm not saying that they were about to lose the game, but he was the guy. He was no bridesmaid tonight in the fourth quarter. He was the bride, or he was the man, whatever word you want to use. Like, he was the guy that they were all looking at.
The bride.
He's married to the game. You know, that's what I'm going to say about Jaylen Brown, like, this series. So I'm giving him his due. I think sometimes he gets overlooked. And, Sherrod, we talked about it after game two. And we said after game one that we didn't give him enough props, which I think is true. So three games straight now, he's had a huge, huge effect on three wins. And this is a player that was not in the playoffs last year. And we know how that ended. I mean, they were dead before they even – started that series, but having Jaylen Brown, you know, healthy and playing basically the best basketball of his career, I would say even going into the playoffs, like, that's the difference. You know, that's a huge difference.
It is. And Jimmy, my favorite play for Jaylen out of all the big plays he made was after he basically bust Blake Griffin's ass for like 2-3 straight buckets. He dribble drives. He kicks it to Tatum in the corner for the three.
Yeah,
play that I don't think Jaylen would have made a year ago. He would have continued to look to get his buckets rather than take advantage of the wide open guy who was killing him before he was killing him. That's growth, man. That's what you want to see.
You know why, though? The way I looked at it, it was like, okay, you know what? Tatum, at that point, right before that, like a few plays before that, a few minutes before that, I feel like Tatum was kind of like he needed to settle down a bit. Actually, you know what, John? You tweeted something out being like, yo, Tatum, chill, or something like that, because it seemed like he was trying to do too much.
He was a little bit getting ahead of himself, but it ended up working, so that was fine. But he had that, like, sequence with the hero ball three with Kyrie, following it up with Durant.
Like, he wanted to send, like, five daggers to send him
messing something like, up, and then the reach-in foul late. He was just trying to do it all himself. Like, I think in general, the Celtics all went for too many kill shots, and they didn't need to, you know?
But especially because it was so early in the fourth, you know, when
in the third and the fourth, they kept going for kill shots and they could have slowed it down and played their game. But go ahead.
So I feel like Jaylen, who I don't think 4 or 5 months ago would have done this, he took matters into his own hand. But at the same time, he was like, well, wait a minute. I don't want you to cool off, young fella. Hold on. Let me pump your brakes a bit. You know, I got it from here, but I'm going to find you in that corner when you're ready for it. You know, when I see you. That's exactly what he did. I don't think he does that 4 months ago.
Time where Tatum was slipping a little. He'd missed a bunch of threes in a row. He was forcing the issue a little bit offensively. He tried to go to the hole and got tied up by Griffin that one time. That little stretch, Tatum was a little bit kind of out in front of his skis, I thought. And that's why I was talking about, like, dude, chill.
Brown, that's when that was happening, yeah.
Brown took it on himself, said, I'm just going to – just give me the ball. I'm just going to go. And he did. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that he can do that nobody else can really do is just go and finish strong and hard and get those easy buckets when they were launching too many threes and they were starting to come out crooked too. You could see, you know, Tice, Grant, they just weren't – they weren't making them. They kept driving and kicking and driving and kicking and nothing was going in. And then Brown was like, no, let's just go. And once that happened, then, you know,
Tatum started doing it, then they got more buckets in transition, and then they just ran him out of the gym in the fourth quarter there. So, yeah, Jaylen triggered that whole fourth quarter run for the Celtics. He was huge.
It was like Blake was trying to, like, turn back the clock, like, on defense. Like, look, I still got that. You know, I got this athleticism. You know, I could play a little defense here, and then Jaylen just shut that down.
Like, that's little, like,
defense,
you know,
little defense, the operative word, just way little.
Yeah. That's like when Sherrod and I play basketball and we remember that the 20-year-old version of ourselves used to be able to get to that spot.
Exactly.
So
yeah, exactly.
In my brain I can do it, but when I go to move my body, it doesn't go there.
No, the knees are like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You have to relax. Come to that realization in the first half. You gotta roll that dice in the first half. You don't throw him in there in the third. Like, I just thought it was just sloppy from Steve.
It was desperate.
He was just like, yeah, it was desperate.
It worked.
It was like
it
he
worked.
Was running out of ideas.
It worked.
We, you know, well, someone asked him before the game, during shoot around, do you plan to even switch the rotation at all? He's like, no, not at all. And this doesn't really, you know, go underneath he switched the rotation because he threw Blake Griffin in that third quarter. But I just thought that, why not? You know, the way the first quarter was going, second quarter, like, you would think he would try something new. And he put Blake in there in the second half.
Yep. Other little nuggets, you know, it was interesting because you talk about, like, you know, countering what the Nets were doing. You know, you got Bruce Brown is, you know, playing well. You're getting contributions out of Claxton.
Another career high from Brown.
Yeah, you're getting contributions out of Claxton. I really do like Brown. I think he's going to be he'd be great here. He'd be a great fit here. I know he's a free agent. But anyway, you know, come on home. Come back to Boston. Come on back. The Celtics countered. You got great first halves from Pritchard and Grant, you know, kind of going punch for punch there while the Stars were kind of still getting their feet wet a little bit. So that was huge, you know, from those guys. Pritchard's hitting Pritchard stuff is nasty.
Listen,
you know,
the ankles are still swollen on a couple of Nets players. That I mean, wow. I didn't think he had that in his bag. That was impressive.
I love that. That's 91 points at the Y right there. That's where you that's where you hone those skills.
For real.
Yeah, and then you have Derek White.
That's why
he gets
those buckets in a hurry.
Derek White doesn't play anymore, apparently.
John, we don't talk about that. Okay?
14.
Come on,
minutes.
He had the football pass.
Yeah, the football pass. On. Thank you, Josue. He had the football pass.
And he had a great
touchdown.
He
was on the board.
That pass was worth a first round pick by itself. Everything else is just crazy.
They're really shrinking that bench in the third quarter. In the second half, Tice also kind of went away a little bit. Heavy Grant minutes in that second half as
we're
well.
We're gonna see Tice kind of fall back,
fade
to
back,
shadows,
yep.
Which is okay.
Because Rob's
as he should.
Yeah, yep. He's done his job. He's done his job in the series. Now it's time to get Rob back into the flow.
Yeah. He has done his job. Serviceable. Rob came
back. Thank you for your service. Now have a seat.
Rob came back a little sooner than we thought. Everything is good here. Again, we're going to.
That's huge. I mean, that's huge for the second round, whoever it is. I mean, if it is the Bucks, I mean, they're obviously a bigger team with with Giannis and
no Middleton, though. No Middleton for at least part of that series.
Lopez, though.
Chicago,
I mean, they get some bangers down
there. Side now.
Yeah. The Middleton loss is massive.
Because we know
not
he's
only
a,
is he
he's a Celtics killer.
He's a Celtics. Thank you. He's a Celtics killer. He's just a huge Celtics killer. So,
I love Chris Middleton though. I love watching him play though. Because every player who was slow footed, he gives you hope that you can play in the NBA. Because Chris is no none at all. But damn it, he can shoot. He can make plays. So. Anyway,
he's probably Wally Zerbiak's favorite.
They got to get past Chicago first. They got a big
Bucks
one tomorrow.
Bucks is still 2-1, right? It's 2-1
yeah,
Bucks.
It is. Yeah. Tomorrow's game four, and that's a huge, you know, that's a massive game four.
If the Philly series was on the Celtics schedule and Philly was only up 2-0 when Embiid got hurt and not 3, they'd be in deep trouble right now because Embiid might be effed up for the rest of the year. Here.
Yeah, that's massive.
That's bad.
Hand, I guess a lot tonight.
It feels everything's breaking for the Celtics, man.
It
like,
is
not that it's like a guaranteed, but like right, Sherrod, it feels like everything's breaking for them. Like
knock on wood.
The basketball gods were like, oh, you didn't see? They didn't try to skip out on Brooklyn. Now look at them. You know what I mean? Like they're getting blessed. Yeah.
I hate that. I don't buy that.
John's not that take.
I don't buy that at all, but it doesn't matter. You're right, though. You never know.
You mean you don't? You mean this organization wasn't paying for trading Isaiah for all those years?
I mean, there are, you know.
I don't subscribe to that.
If you want to talk about karma, what's going to happen is Toronto's going to advance to the conference finals, and the Celtics are going to have a problem. So you want to talk about basketball gods?
That could happen too.
Want to talk about basketball gods? Let's not go there, okay?
We're down what, 3-1? It's 3-1,
yeah,
right?
3-1 now. So it's going
to
be hard.
John, but there's a difference between taking and, you know, winning to that spot. You know what I mean? So the
basketball as Nick Nurse said,
they may be conflicted right now.
As Nick Nurse said,
Celtics didn't take to that spot to face the Nets.
3-1 has happened, so they now have a chance.
They're playing the coach who has lost more 3-1 series leads than anyone in NBA history.
Chirag, come on. That's assault, brother. That's assault right there. You didn't have to go there with our guy.
I'm just saying, Jimmy. I love Doc.
But it's true.
It's true, Jimmy.
It may be true.
I'm glad that you love me, but Jimmy, it's true, Jimmy.
Jimmy is right.
Yeah, shout out to Doc, though. I don't try to make fun of him, but
no, you can't. No, you don't get that. You don't get to see that, man. You don't get that.
I love Doc.
You don't get to see that now.
He's the 10th winningest coach in NBA history, but he's lost a lot of 3-1 series leads.
Don't lose the 3-0, Sherrod. That's like 1-of-1.
Bobby, what do you got on a post game there? We're going to wrap after post game report. What do you got?
What JT said?
Jalen, Jason talked, and I'm just astounded at the maturity, specifically of those two.
The maturation, right?
But are those, like, specifically, Bobby, like, what jumps out to you about that maturity that you're talking about?
He's astounded, Gerard.
I think Jalen's message and his consistent messages, these have been consistent things he's talked about of just focusing on themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, he has put the Kyrie stuff to the side, everything going on that Durant's talking about and the Nets and the allure of that team and everything else. For a while, they've just been focused on themselves, and that seems to be something that stemmed from not only Ime, but Jalen, making the right play by play. And then even just Tatum talking about his defense. And I know Joe Sway was asking Ime about this too, but the ability to play both ends of the floor at an elite level like he has. Coming into this year, I remember asking Ime, like, all right, is there such a load on Tatum offensively that it's tough to play defense? And Ime was just kind of like, nope, you play both ends of the floor. And I kind of question that, but even he has started to grasp, yes, you can do it at an elite level on both ends of the floor. And that is what it takes if you're going to reach this echelon.
Right. That's the best thing.
I think Brown and Tatum have just, talking about leadership, all the little things that they have to do. Jalen said, oh, we've had to pull guys aside. We've embraced this. We got challenged to be leaders, and we've had to find creative ways to do it. These are things they kind of balked at, John, for a while.
I know. That's what's so amazing about it. And I'm not – it's just – at the beginning of the year, the whole captain thing and just the way those first 40-something games went.
Oh, my God. John, stop. Everything was like, oh, no,
they don't get it. You know, they got the coach to come in here and make them play and coach them hard, and they're not doing it. Like, they're not playing defense. They're not moving the ball. They're not doing any of those things. They're tanking leads. It was so bad. And, like, that, you know, I'll still never understand, you know, how that happened, you know. And again, success kind of breeds that a little bit, you know. You buy in a little bit, they start to get a taste of it, you know, that kind of run up to the trade deadline where they've
or did failure breed it, because they went let's call it 80 games or so of 500 basketball,
130 yeah. games.
So
it was 72 plus 40, it was about plus 45, 120, I mean, and plus the playoff series. It's about 130 games where they played below 500 basketball.
Yeah, and not only a ton of losses, but devastating losses, one after another. And
Goes back to bubble heat, you know?
At some point, did it just break them? New York, January 8th, did they just say, man, we got to change if we want this to stop happening? Because, like, again – That yeah. week, it happened one after another after another. Spurs, Knicks.
It's always New York. It's like when the 86 yeah. Celtics gave up beer, you know? It happened at Madison Square Garden. You know, like, we can't do this anymore.
That was such a moment. RJ over Tatum off the glass, 25-point collapse. It was like, wow, like, it can get lower. And it's going to get lower if we don't do something here. And, you know, they had a few low moments after that, but you just slowly started to see the improvement. And I remember saying around then, like, all right, this season's lost. But if they start to take the steps and if they start to develop the habits here, it'll be a good year. And instead, it just flowed. Their talent was high enough that just buying into those things, the little things, Brown talked about it tonight, boxing out, you know, little things like that, it all... hard closeouts, it all just developed into an unstoppable force of a team. And it showed how high their talent was. We understated it. Like, are they good enough? Do they need more help? No, the two stars were good enough. They just needed to play up to their abilities. And I love Tatum too tonight. A couple of questions about, like, oh, do you think you've surpassed Durant? Oh, the MVP chance. And he's just like, I'm not thinking any of that. Yeah, I'm just thinking about the winning each game and, you know, making all the plays.
As long as I make all NBA.
Yeah, there was a time when that was kind of a fixation for him. And yeah. Now you see him answering those different.
Yeah.
Bobby, last year. Would you say Bobby, that this is the greatest basketball team of all time?
So we didn't talk.
He's answering it.
He's thinking about it seriously. He's like, hold on.
We didn't
talk.
I hate you, Jimmy. How much did you guys talk about Rob?
Not enough, to be honest.
Just a little.
So that's the swing factor there. He looked. Yeah, I mean, he looked fine here, and it was still a ginormous plus. I mean, what was his plus minus in the end? The first
five,
half run,
five, they plus built five.
They built a double digit lead in the first half run. The second half run didn't go as well. But his impact was immediate.
How do you think he looked out there? You were there in person.
He looks like Rob. He really does. Throwing down a lob, making the rotations defensively. He got inside on Bruce Brown once on a, you know, one of those short roll attempts by Brown. This is the play where Blake kind of dropped the ball and Brown ran it back for a dunk. That was Rob, in my opinion, filling the lane and being an intimidating presence in there against Brown. Now, offensively, I think it's going to take a little while because timing and verticality and those sort of things are what get him buckets. And that's all off right now just from being out for so long. But in terms of just being a presence and a defensive force, I thought he was right back to who he was.
I just, yeah. It's
limited, John. It's a very
all you
small...
wanted to see was him play and not look scared and be able to move. Everything else is gravy. You're building towards something bigger. So
you be a Sunday. No, you.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
All right.
Give me those digits.
Yo, what's up?
What's up? Yeah. I'll see you later. Where you going?
Y'all have no idea about Joe Sway's game, y'all. I'm gonna just leave it right there. Yo, I'm a witness, by the way.
No, don't just leave it right there. Speak on that,
Gerard. Joe Sway, you really don't want me to do that, Joe Sway.
Where's the Joe Sway banner?
Yo, can you just pan that camera to, like, your left or left a little bit?
I thought I muted myself, but I guess I
didn't. Nope. Hey. All right, yeah.
Gerard's not that far from me either.
Cool. I got a bunch of girls. Like, hey, ladies, just keep it down. Show's almost over. I guess the same thing going on over here.
And by girls, he means like
I had like at like 6%, yeah. So I got here just in time, and then
by all girls, right, end the show. Joe Sway,
seven guys. He was in a flat with those are Jimmy's girls.
Yeah. Keep it down.
So Rob looked good. I'm still story of the game. Story of everything for me is the absolute destruction of the Nets and watching KD and I mean. Barring, you know, game one with Irving, but watching Kyrie and KD absolutely shit the bed on such a big stage here is so surprising and so interesting.
They might get blown out, John, in game four. Like, they might. Bailout, we don't want to go to Boston.
Let's shots don't fall early, they're done. Yeah. You know, they're done.
There's nothing about this Nets team that tells me they're gonna fight for a...
And you know what? Do you guys think there's any chance Simmons plays?
They should just play Simmons.
No.
Yeah. It would Simmons, be a punishment. No. It would honestly be a punishment for Simmons.
If Durant should sit in a clown suit and let Simmons play 40 minutes tomorrow on Monday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not what happened. Oh, yeah. You said Durant should. Okay,
if he doesn't.
Durant should, all right.
I wonder if Simmons, I mean, is he even suited up for this team next year? I don't know what. I don't even want to talk about Simmons. I don't want to waste any more breath.
Oh, yeah. You said that like a half hour ago, too.
I don't want to. I'm done talking about it.
We've wasted a year.
This probably ends on Monday. We'll be back here, and then we'll have a little break, you know, after that. So, again, thanks for joining us. We dug it. We're back in 2 days. There's no more 3 days off here for that game, and that might be it. Might be a little break after that. So, anybody predicting this series comes back to Boston?
No, it's over. It's over.
I feel like it would be foolish to, based on what we've seen. I mean, originally, I thought this was gonna. I mean, hand up, I thought this was gonna be a series. I mean, I'm the first to admit it.
We all did.
I mean, I feel like Bobby and Sherrod, like, they called it a little bit more for the Celtics, which credit to you guys.
I think Bobby was supremely confident, but also picked the Celtics in seven, which is insane.
No, you know? Six.
Okay. I was like, there's no Bobby way the Celtics.
We all, I collected the picks. I have always, Sherrod was six. I was six. But I think we were all six.
We were all six.
I was seven. Jimmy
went seven. Five. Yeah.
I thought Sherrod
That's what I thought.
I wanted to go five, but you guys convinced me to go six. I really didn't want to go six, though.
John was Celtics in seven. It's peer pressure. Only if this and
six,
that.
Six. I said six.
Oh, see, don't you hate when that happens, Sherrod?
It was fair.
You also had Nets up 2-1.
And then Rob coming back, and then I was trying to be dramatic. Then Rob comes back, and then they take off, and they win the next three. That would have been fun. Good
poetry. You did too much.
You were a little scared, John.
The people enjoyed it.
But John did call Rob. We'll be back. He did call that before anyone called that.
The people enjoyed it, okay? They like it. Whether they know it or not, they like it.
That's what I was telling Bobby today. He was like, man, I think John was the only one that was like legitimately thinking like the Nets. I'm like, yeah, but it's good. It's good for the show. You know,
it's what the people like.
We can't all say Celtics, right?
Oh, you know, John, boom. Yeah.
Again, were nothing to be scared of.
The viewers love to hate.
Do you think Toronto or Chicago was anyone to be scared of? The first two
I think
games,
the Raptors would have been tougher.
I don't. I still think – I think they walk over
then a
both
sweep. You don't think they would have – so they would have had a sweep.
I would have predicted four – look, I thought this series would go a little longer. I would have predicted four or five for Toronto or Chicago.
I would have predicted six for Toronto and six for Chicago. Same thing.
Really? Yeah, I thought they would have walked over.
They would have swept Chicago.
Everyone here thinks I didn't make a prediction. I wrote it. Their words, sometimes you put them on paper or type them, and it
took
went
you
on
a
our
while.
Website.
John made a prediction. It came with like a whole insurance plan, and like if this happens,
made the right move, Jimmy. He did. It worked out for him.
It was a thousand words, and nobody got to the end of it. Nobody read the thing long enough to get to his prediction, but he did pick Celtics in seven.
He was so ready to pick the Nets.
It was six.
He
did. He did get smart at the end.
It was perfect.
But no, what we did? We underrated the Celtics. I don't think any of us expected them to play as well as they've done here, because they have absolutely just smashed it out of the ballpark. They've been amazing, especially on defense. How sharp and prepared were they from the instant?
But here's why, Bobby, and I'll stand by this. I believe that when Rob went out, the Celtics were in prove-it mode again, which is prove you can go in the playoffs against playoff-caliber teams, and with this unit shorthanded, and important minutes from guys like Grant and Pritchard, starting minutes from guys like Tice, prove that you're that much better than everybody else. The same team that was dominating people down the stretch. Prove that you don't need everybody there. Prove that the stuff that's plagued you, you know, last season in the playoffs, early part of this season, is gone. And you want to see it. You know, I don't think that that's unrealistic, you know, because also you thought Rob might have been out for an entire series. So the whole point was survive until you're whole. You know, I don't think any one of us was picking against the Celtics against any team in any round. If there is no Rob injury down the stretch there, the way that they were stomping people, we were all on that train at that point. It was finals or bust. So this reset things a little bit. We saw a couple of games where you were OK. That was a good team. and they didn't stand up to it. That wasn't great. How's that going to be in the playoffs? That's all that was. I don't think that's unrealistic. It's not not having faith in them. It's we got to see it. They got to be able to do it without their big guy.
Yeah, and they did.
It's not crazy. Every other team's losing players, and granted, players that are more important, you know, than Rob, just in terms of, you know, their production. But like anytime somebody else loses somebody, we're like, oh, they're screwed. But when Rob went out, everyone's like, they're fine. I don't understand that. When other teams lose guys, everyone's like, they should be an easy out in the second round now.
I don't think people said they were fine. I think people were just hopeful that he wasn't going to be out for like long enough where they couldn't get by.
And they started smashing teams, Jimmy. I know it was the Bulls and the Wizards, but they were looking like themselves pretty early on after the injury.
Yeah, but to Jimmy's point, though, I think people were sort of reluctant because they're, I mean, not reluctant, but I guess they were sort of going into the series hoping, they were saying that, but they're also hoping that if there was a game 6 or 7 that Rob would be in the mix. Like that was everyone's like hope, like, okay, maybe this team can hold their own against the Brooklyn Nets without him, but when push comes to shove, make sure he's in the series for game 6. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that was sort of like the window, or at least the target, sort of maybe game 5, game 6, but I don't think people anticipated this, you know, for him to come back in game 3 and for the series to be what it is now. And that's Celtics up 3-0.
I'll say this. If you just listened to John talk about Rob's injury, you would have just hid under a blanket and you would not have come out for like 2 months. You wouldn't be watching this series. You would have just assumed that Rob Williams' career was over and that the Celtics as a franchise were done. Is that accurate, John?
It was literally the worst thing to happen. And it was. It was scary.
So I'm correct. If we just listen.
First off, let's walk through the whole arc of Rob. If you want to go through it, Rob Williams gets hurt, and I'm
like, I'm good.
I'm like, oh man. I was like, I hope he's like. And everyone's like, he's fine. He walked off. He'll be back next game. And I was like, I don't know, guys. I don't know if he's fine.
That is accurate. You were okay.
And everyone's like, dude, he'll be fine. He's gonna play next game. So give me a break. He had a freaking torn meniscus and surgery. Okay, that is a big deal.
Could have been a season. Could have been the end of the year.
A season, guys. So come on. You know.
Can I?
That was the appropriate reaction.
Let me.
Because they were a wagon and they were just going down there. They were barreling down the tracks, and this could have derailed it.
Anybody who listened to Dr. Jim got the proper diagnosis.
They got the proper
timetable for return right on target. If go back to Dr. Jim's tweets, and if anyone's looking for their own diagnosis or prognosis, just hit me up. My DMs are open.
Yeah.
So
I am pro leg injuries.
Back to there.
I think Sherrod and I were co-captains.
I'm pro clean break.
Yeah.
I just want to throw this out there as a teaser for round 2, because you know we're not looking ahead yet, but I do want to tease this because Sherrod and I were the captains of the Don't Be Scared of the Nets ship.
You were.
I'm scared of the Bucks.
Without Middleton?
I'm not
scared of the Bucks.
I'm respectful of the Bucks because they're a good team. And if you're going to be a great team, you got to beat good teams along the way. So I'm respectful of them, but I'm not afraid of them. You should be afraid of them.
They have a guy.
The Bucks bore me to death. I'm only scared of falling asleep during that series. That's my only concern.
There's a guy.
Nah, doesn't do it for me. We'll
you talk about respect, Sherrod. There might be no one I respect more than Giannis. That guy is – you're going to have to kill him to end the series. Or, like – practically do that because he is just never gonna stop. He's never gonna stop. The engine is just at a million at all times, and you aren't gonna be done with any game until that clock hits zero. That's the kind of engine this guy has, and that's to
Celtics
drive
beat
and
the Bucks.
Yeah, but Bobby, well, that's exactly
match up decent.
I was just gonna
Celtics
say though,
match up well, but I it's gonna be hard.
That's one of the biggest.
Oh, and it should be. It should be hard at this point.
Right, but that's exactly what this team is equipped for. And I think that's what Ime saw before.
Bobby Bag of Donuts putting out the hits. Yep.
A week before the a week before the end of the season, he's like, look, we have that mentality. We have to continue this mindset that we're not afraid of anybody and that we're going to win until we get the best seed that we can get. And if that means facing off against the Nets and then facing off against the champs the second round, then so be it, because we'll have the confidence if we beat the Nets to go on and try to beat the Bucks, you know, beat the champs, you know. And I think Ime had all this calculated, you know, his scheming on Durant and knowing that this team could do it without Rob and knowing what that would mean to its identity. I think all of that is relative. I really do. So, all yeah, right. I mean, yeah. Look, for me personally, Sixers, Miami, those teams scare me more than the Bucks. I don't know why. I just think that the depth, the defense.
Sixers don't.
Sixers don't. I mean, between the two.
Miami makes me a little nervous, though.
Miami's still put the good. Sixers in there.
Look, but we said the East is going to be a bloodbath. I thought the Nets series would be tougher. I didn't.
You might
think
not have to deal with Philadelphia.
The Bucks are tough. The Heat are tough. There's no question about it. So like
the Heat's depth and the shooting.
It's what.
By the way, before we go over this whole like I told you the Nets would be easy. Who thought after Game One that this series was going to be easy? Still, okay. This is like just a couple of days ago. Even after Game One. Anyway.
I just don't.
Everything we thought we knew about them was true.
I don't believe in them. I have not wavered from that at all because they don't play
defense.
We know that. All. That was never their calling card. Never. Yeah.
And it derailed them. It derailed them. But you know what, though?
They were not the amount of points NBA favorites because of their defense. But that's
no, the amount of points that the Celtics were giving up, though, I was a little worried, especially without Rob. I mean, look, even after game one, I was like, this thing could still be a 6-game series. But the Celtics
you couldn't lose game one. Yeah, you couldn't lose game one in that fashion. Then I would have been scared. But they pulled it out, and it said a lot about how they did it. But yeah, I don't want to get too far into Milwaukee, but that was just my teaser.
You know, that could have changed everything they lost.
That could have. I agree.
Little teaser.
All right, guys. We're going to wrap it up.
We got nothing.
On the game four.
That's seven.
What you guys do? You guys swear something? What's going on?
No. That's insane.
Sound like an abrupt ending.
Yeah. No, we got to wrap it up because we'll just keep going. Okay.
All right. Final thoughts. Who's got one?
No. We have.
We're not doing final thoughts.
Good night.
I have a
Game four. Last show,
Jimmy did that like three times with the final thought.
I have a button here, and I'm pressing it.